Yeah. I figure it's a really good sign, actually. I don't feel like I need to be welcomed. So don't worry about not welcoming me, because I don't feel like I need to be welcomed. Well, I figured it's a good sign. I don't know what you think, but I thought it was good. I thought it'd be really good before we read God's word to pray, because that's always a good thing. But it is Father's Day, and I thought we should pray for dads, because we've all had one at some stage in our life, whether they've been there or not. We've all had one to actually be here. I thought it was somebody's phone then. I thought, oh, somebody's dad on the phone. So let's pray. But also reminding ourselves that not everybody has a good relationship with their dad. And so today is a difficult day for some people because it brings difficult memories. And so that is hard. Pray for new dads. There's one over there. I hope it's you now I've said that. but also, I think it's really important that we thank God for the best father we've ever had, and that is Jesus Christ. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for sending your son Jesus. We thank you that that relationship that he had with you, although he never saw you in physical form, he knew that he was your son, that you were his father. And we thank you, Lord God, that you are our Father, and that there is no one in all of heaven or earth that can compare with you. Father, we do thank you for our earthly fathers, whether they've been good or not so good, whether they've been there or whether they haven't been there. Father, we've all had one at some stage to have got to this place in our lives that we're in. And so, Father, we thank you for that. But we also thank you, Father God, for the men in our lives who have been father figures to us. Maybe Christian men who have been really good role models for us. Father, we thank you for those men who have shaped us and formed us and inspired us. And for those men who are those inspirations and those role models to other young people, Lord God, we just pray that our men would be strong Christian men, that they would be full of faith, that they'd be wise, Father, and that they would show their love for people around them, just as Jesus did. Father, we thank you so much that you have given us the Father heart of God. And that is who we cling to, the Father heart of God. And Lord, as we thank you for all that you are, we pray this morning that you would speak to us, that you would inspire us, that you would move us, Lord God, that maybe you would even make us feel uncomfortable this morning, that you would shake us from our comfort zones into a place that maybe isn't as comfortable, but a place where we have to maybe reevaluate our relationship with you. Father, we pray this morning that you would bless us with your presence as we meet around your word. Father, we love you. We worship you. And now we wait on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to read this morning from the book of Malachi. Not one that we often read from, but we're going to go to Malachi chapter 1. So it's the last book of the Old Testament, if you're following in the Bible, Malachi chapter 1. And we're going to read from verses 1 to 5 this morning. This is the message that the Lord gave to Israel through the prophet Malachi. I've always loved you, says the Lord. But you retort, really? How have you loved us? And the Lord replies, this is how I showed my love for you. I loved your ancestor Jacob, but I rejected his brother Esau, and I devastated his hill countries, and I turned Esau's inheritance into the desert for jackals. Esau's descendants in Edom may say, we've been shattered, but we will rebuild the ruins. But the Lord of heaven's armies replied, they may try to rebuild, but I will demolish them again. Their country will be known as the land of wickedness, and their people will be called the people with whom the Lord is forever angry. When you see the destruction for yourselves, you will say, truly, the Lord's greatness reaches far beyond Israel's borders. What a cheery place to start by a reading this morning. I want to ask you a question this morning. It is quite rhetorical, unless you want to answer. You don't have to. But the question I want to ask you this morning is, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Or do you love me? You know, no matter how you say those four very small words, they hold power. And no matter how you say that sentence, that question, it can mean many different things. Do you love me? I hope the answer is yes. But I wonder what those four very special words mean. Four very small words that hold a huge amount of power, a huge amount of strength. And I wonder what happens when you hear the words, I love you. I wonder what it does to you when maybe you're on the receiving end of those words, I love you. Now, a group of professionals posed that question to some children. And they said to these children, what does love mean? And this group of 4 to 8-year-olds, well, you can imagine that they came up with some quite weird and wonderful suggestions of what does love mean. The answers that they were given sort of, they give much broader and a much deeper sense than maybe you or I could ever begin to give to that question. Billy, aged 4, says, when someone loves you, the way they say your name is different. You just know that your name is safe in their mouth. Danny, aged 7, says, love is when mummy makes coffee for my daddy and she takes a sip of it before she gives it to him just to make sure it tastes okay. Terry, aged 4, says, love is what makes you smile when you're tired. Jessica, aged 8, says, you really shouldn't say I love you unless you really mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot because people forget. And I think my favourite is Bobby, aged 7. He said, love is what's in the room at Christmas if you stop opening the presents and listen. How profound from a 7-year-old. You know, maybe those young people are right. Maybe that is what love is. But Malachi, this prophecy was to communicate God's love to his people. It was to communicate God's longing for them. It was to communicate God's longing for them to be in a place that he wanted them and he needed them to be so that he could bless them. And their response was one of utter amazement. Our response to those children maybe is to giggle and go, oh, isn't that sweet? But theirs was a response of utter amazement. They could not believe that the Lord would love them. And so they said, how have you loved us? Can you imagine? Could you imagine for 1 second God saying to you, I love you. And you go, nope, how? Tell me how. Because that's exactly what these people were saying. He said, I have loved you. I have always loved you. And they say, how have you loved us? You know, the question, good morning, hello. That question not only reveals the attitude of the people. You tried to come in quietly then, and I've just showed you up. I'm so sorry. That question not only reveals an attitude of the people, but it also introduces us to the approach that Malachi uses to convey his message. This whole prophecy at the very beginning of Malachi reveals an insensitive people communicating in conversation through a prophet with a sensitive God. And so from the very beginning, Malachi begins with a revelation of God's love for his people. And they were blind. And they could not see God's love. Verse 2 says, I have always loved you. And they come back as quick as a flash and say, how? I have loved you, says the Lord. You know, when I think of God saying that, that was a huge burden of love that he was expressing to them. It wasn't just, well, I love you. It wasn't just one of those. It wasn't one of those gooey ones that makes you feel a bit funny. It was this huge, powerful, intense burden of love for his people. But even though this was a huge, intense, powerful burden, it was also a tender reminder to the Jews of the reality of the situation that they were in. They are Israel. They are the covenant people. They are what they are and who they are because of God's attitude toward them from the very beginning of time. And you know, you are who you are and you are what you are because of God's attitude towards you. You know, this love that we're talking about here, this love points to a closeness, to a deep intensity of the relationship, a relationship that has been initiated by God. To have a relationship full of love means to have a relationship full of trust, full of honesty, full of respect for one another. And it means so much more. And this is the relationship and this is the love that God is talking about here at this time. And you know, God, that same God who's talking about that intensity of love then still shows us his intensity of love now. Because Lord God, this same God, showers on us rain. We know about that. Aren't we grateful? He showers us on rain. He showers rain on us and he shines the sunshine on us, free and undeserved every day without merit. That is a way that God shows you that he loves you. Completely unmerited, totally undeserved on our part. And still, God shows you every day by doing such small things in the whole grand scheme of things, such small things, that is how God is showing you that he loves you. You know, there never has been, there never will be, and there never, ever, ever is anything that you or I can do to attract God's attention and to attract God's affection for you. Because do you know what actually we deserve is his condemnation. What we really deserve is his wrath and his anger for our sinful disobedience, for our rebellion against him. But do you know what we actually receive from him is totally undeserved, totally unmerited love, without end and without beginning. The truth that God's love is independent of merit is obvious as we observe his dealings with these ancient people. But as we observe what he's done with these people all this time back, it should also be a marvelous comfort to us today, especially when we're so aware of our own sin. I want to say to you today, that your sin and my sin, it doesn't hinder God's love. It doesn't hinder God's love because God is not going to stop loving you because we're sinful people. But what it does do is it hinders our awareness of God's love. Because it is our sins that get in the way of our relationship with him. It is us that puts the block between us and him. And then we say, well, where is God? He doesn't love me. He surely can't love me because I'm a sinful human being. But actually, he carries on loving us. And he carries on loving us. But it's us that put things in the way of seeing that. Our sins get in the way of our relationship with him. And you know, when we do that, and we all do it every day in some degree or another, no matter how hard we look, we just sometimes then can't see His amazing love for us. This love that He's had for you ever since the beginning of time has an incredible quality to it. First letter of John, chapter 3, verse 1 says, "How great is the love of the Father that He has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." You know, there is no love in the whole world, in the heavens or in the earth, that compares to His love. There is nowhere that you can go that will give you more love than to God. Because God's love is altogether unique. God's love is altogether marvelous. You know, we can all try and put things in our lives thinking, you know, that'll love me and that'll love me and I'll feel affection from this and I will get what I want from this. Well, I want to tell you today, there is nothing in this world that will be able to give you the love that God can give you. Because the Bible tells us that we are His children. You know, we just prayed that prayer earlier about our fathers who may not have necessarily been there, our fathers who may not have necessarily been as what we wanted. Well, I want to tell you this morning that He is always the one who is there as our Heavenly Father. He is always what we need, not necessarily what we want. He is always what we need. And He will love you more than anything. Because there is nothing that our Father in heaven won't do for us. Because He loves us. He loves you. And you know, He wants us to love one another just as He has loved us. But you know, because we're human, we tend to love the ones who we think are deserving. I want to say to you today, who are we to decide who is deserving of love and who isn't? Because He hasn't done that. God loves the undeserving. God loves the sinner. You know, God loves the one who argues with their spouse before they go out to work and who argues and argues and argues more than they ever say to their spouse, "I love you." God loves the one who doesn't always meet the mark. God loves the one who tells their child off just as they get to the school gates and then spends all day thinking about how much they've hurt their child. The child's forgotten about it. But you spend all day pulling yourself apart, thinking about what you've said before they've gone off to school. God loves the one who walks away from Him. God loves the one who's never given Him anything. He loves the one who gets it completely wrong all the time. And do you know what? I'm so grateful. Because that is me. And unless you're all perfect, which I'm sure there may be some of you are, this is you. We're inclined, though, aren't we, to love the attractive. We're inclined to love the one who's going to do something for us. The one who we're maybe going to look good with. We're inclined to love the one who promises the world and gives us nothing. We're inclined to love the ones who've got a good job or a nice house. Who've got right friends, the ones who've got credibility or status. But God loves the unattractive. Because God loves you. And I think the fact that He loves me is incredible. God spared not His only Son, but freely delivered Him up to the cross for us all. You know, to appreciate the love of God shown to us in the cross, we're to recognize, first of all, that the indescribable love of the Father for his only Son, at the same time as his indescribable hatred of sin. For the Father to allow his only child, his only Son, to be made sin for you and for me is something that we can marvel about from now on into eternity. And people have been arguing and wrestling with that from the very beginning of time and will continue to do so into all eternity, because God's love is eternal. God's love was fixed upon you before the foundation of the world. Before you had done anything good, before you had thought about anything good, before you were even born, God's thoughts were on you. And he looked at you and he said, I love that person. And he called you by name and he said, you are mine and I love you. And that love of God is unchanging. You know, we change every day, don't we? We change like the wind sometimes, don't we? But God's love is unchanging. You know, if we could have done anything, if we are trying to do anything, if we are thinking of doing anything to turn God's love away, let me tell you this morning, you can't. God's love is particular to you. It is particular to you. It is general for us all, but God's love is particular to you. You know, it's incredible that God loves you. It's even more incredible that God loves me. And however I've tried to push it away, however you may have tried to push it away, God's love remains. God has declared his love for you in the scriptures. If you read back, he has provided proof for his love for you on a cross. You know, God's love is necessary to life. God's love is essential to your life. And God's love is eternal for you, because he is love. You know, if you take a stick of Blackpool rock, you chop it in half and it says Blackpool all the way right through it. If you chopped him in half, it would say love right through it, and it would have your name on it. You know, as you look back through your own experience of your walk with Christ, you will see his love running right through everything you have said and everything that you have done. And these people in the book of Malachi said, how? How have you loved us? Why was it that they felt so unloved and so unsure that they had to ask this question, how have you loved us? I wonder how many times have you asked that question, though? Of God, I mean, not of anybody else. How many times have you said, God, how have you loved us? Where is your love for me? Show me your love. You know, sometimes we, and, well, again, I'll just speak for myself. I would say to those I love, if you love me, you would do. Has anybody else done that, or is it just me? Good, I'm glad you've all done it. For a long time, I said to Owen, love, if you love me, you'd let me have a puppy. I got it in the end. 5 years of grinding him down. If you loved me, you would. If you loved me, you would say. If you loved me, you'd be home on time for dinner. If, because I've been slaving for hours. Not in my house. If you loved me, you would do this. If you loved me, that you do, you would do that. Show me that you love me. We all do it. Okay? And, you know, very often when we try that, and I know in my house, the answer comes back, darling, if you loved me, you wouldn't ask.
Harsh. I got it. I got it in the end.
We do the same with God, don't we? God, if you loved me, you would bless my bank account. God, if you loved me, you would provide me with a new job. God, if you loved me, you'd sort my relationship out. God, if you loved me, God, if you love me, how come things are like this? God, if you love me, how can you let me be going through this situation? I questioned God on that for donkey's years. God, if you love me, why is my mother like this? God, if you love me, how can you let me be going through this? God, if you love me, why have you put me in this situation? And they asked the same questions back then. And you and I will carry on asking those questions because we put things in the way of seeing God's love for us. You know, the community back then was just as disillusioned, was just as doubting, was just as cynical as we are today. The relationship between God and his people, it was confrontational as it probed their loyalty and they questioned the value of serving him, just as we do today. And I'm sure that they would have asked, and I'm sure we ask on a regular basis, if God loved us, where is the evidence to prove it? Well, I want to tell you today that the proof is this. That Jesus stretched out his arms. And he said, this is how much I love you. And he stretched out his arms on the cross. And he was crucified. And he was beaten. And he was whipped. And his body was ripped and torn and nailed to a cross because of you. Because he loves you. You know, when you ask Jesus, how much does he love you? He said this much. And he hung on a tree with his arms outstretched. Do you know, I've stood here now all this time with my arms outstretched. My shoulders are killing. And I just think, because I'm unfit, I just think, what did he go through? Because he loves you. You know, we very often question God's love for us. And we're too busy questioning it and we don't actually notice that as we're questioning God's love for us, he's actually pouring his love onto us. And we don't recognize it. How often are we too busy getting ourselves in a knot about all the things that we think that God isn't doing? But we don't actually take the time to see what he did yesterday. And what he did the day before, and what he is doing today. And we don't look to the tomorrow and look to all the promises that he has made for today and for all our tomorrows, that he is still loving you, that he will always love you, and he has always loved you. Why is it that we are so blind to see the blessings that God has given to us? Because, you know, we're no different to these people at the very book of, at the very beginning of the book of Malachi when they said, how have you loved us? Have you got the message? Loves you. Even though you might not feel it, even though you might be hurting, even though you might feel so far away from him, that you think, I've gone so far away from him, there's no chance of him ever seeing me. You know, the Bible says that we can't go to the east or the west or the north or the south and get away from him. And you think that you've gone so far away that he can't even reach you. I want to tell you this morning, you can't. You can't. You know, if you look at the facts of creation and then look at the facts of Calvary, and then if you look at the facts of your own walk with Christ, you will see that it is his love running right through all of that. And as you see that, I want to say to you this morning, make your appropriate response to his love. Because God loves each and every one of you. And he loves that little one that's in there. And before that was even formed, God knew. The Bible tells, in the secret places, in the hidden places, God knew before this little one was even thought of by you. God knows every hair that's going to be on that one's head, how many days it's going to live, and the plans that that little one is going to have. God knows. From the very beginning, God knows. God loves you. And there is nothing you can do to change that. And there is nothing that we have got to do to prove our love for him. You know, I once heard it said, if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If he had a wallet, your photo would be in it. He sends you flowers every spring. He sends you a sunrise every morning. So just face it, he's crazy about you. God tells us and God shows us every day just how much he loves us. But don't be too busy to notice. Don't be too caught up in other stuff to notice the love that he lavishes on you. And at those times when you feel lost and when you feel hurt and times when you feel far away, times when you feel unloved, times when you feel unnoticed, times when you don't feel that you're worthy of his love or anybody else's love, those are the times that we have to remember that when there is nothing left, it's God that will be there. And it's God that will fill all that hurt. It is God that is all you need. Let's pray. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. So this week, as we go out to serve him in the world, we take his love with us. And we take his love and we give it to others, just as it has been given to you. Let us remember to look for his love through the darkness and through the hurt. To look through it, to look to his love in the joys and the sorrows. And let us rejoice with one another, because God loves us. And we thank him in Jesus' name. Amen.